The order of the parts of this Jesus' final discourse that in the lectionary is difficult, because now, having been at the end of the discourse, we move back to an earlier part of the discourse, an order which I finally don't understand. And it's one of the reasons why I would suggest that you tell this whole thing so that people will have experienced the whole speech and will have a context for each of these sections in the order that they receive. I imagine that the reason why this has been chosen in this way is because of Pentecost and the theme of the Holy Spirit that is present here. But I would call to attention that it is at the cost of the overall experience of Jesus' speech. Now, this section, it begins with Philip's question or statement, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus' response is incredulity. "How can you ask to see the Father when I've been showing you the Father all the time? If I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, then it isn't I who speak, but the Father who dwells in me and does his works. So how can you say?" Right? That's the spirit of this. So my hearing of this is that Jesus is somewhat impatient with Philip. This isn't just a statement of detached objectivity or just puzzlement, but this has an edge to it, and that is typical of ancient teachers. Ancient teachers were not as solicitous of their students as modern teachers often are. They were often not all that nice. In fact, it was a tradition of ancient teaching that beating the students was fully appropriate in order to get their attention. So the use of little whips or of yardsticks or something was a frequent pedagogical technique in the education of the ancient world. And many of the philosophers addressed their students in ways that are frequently highly impatient and angry. So for there to be, you know, a little bit of that in Jesus' voice is just fine. It's probably fully appropriate. It also lends some emotional interest and dynamic to this long speech that if it's all told in the detached and dispassionate way, it becomes a little tedious. Not just a little tedious, a lot tedious. So I'd recommend that that you tell this story in a way that has, you know, that has an edge to it. Now, he may be smiling even as he mildly rebukes Philip, but it's not just dispassionate. Now, the logic of this is, if you don't believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, well, then at least, and the words that I speak, you know, don't carry any authority for you, at least believe that the Father is in the works. If not in the words, then in the works. And pay attention to the works. So the logic of this moves from Philip's question, "Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied." The second episode is, "How can you say, show us the Father?" And then the next picks up on that same verbal thread. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me?" So the evidence of that is that the words that I say, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. That is, he speaks through me. So believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Again, a repetition of that verbal thread at the beginning of the previous episode. But if not that, then the works. And the fourth episode is organized around the theme of the works. And the last three episodes have distinctive themes. So the first of the three, "I will do whatever you ask in my name," is around the theme of your asking. So ask for what you want, and I will do it. Ask in my name. And the next is, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another advocate, another paraclete, another spirit to be with you forever. And this will be the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is the first explicit identification of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. And it is Christ's Spirit that will be embodied in this Spirit of Truth that will come after Jesus, but will continue the Spirit that he has brought into the world. So the Spirit will speak God's Word, the Spirit of Truth. It'll be the means of the experience of Christ's love, and it will be part of the continuity of the Father and the Son, in them and with them. So the gift of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, then, is set in the context of this request of Philip's, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. So Jesus' answer is, you've already seen the Father, and you will experience the Father in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that God will send, that will continue my Spirit, in which you have then known the Father. So, in this discourse, Jesus both lays the foundation for the theology of the Holy Spirit, but it is set in the context of this highly personal relationship that he describes between himself, the Father, and the Holy Spirit that will come and continue his work.